Well, good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Sherry K.B., and I'm a grateful recovered compulsive overeater from Northern California. Today is Friday, December 20th, 2019, and this is our 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we're reading from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, and we're at Chapter 6, page 77, in Into Action, starting with the first paragraph beginning with, "We don't use this as an excuse," and we'll be reading this one paragraph only, excuse me, and it ends with ill feeling and expressing our regret. Everybody please start one to mute your line and so we can have a nice quiet meeting. Thank you so much. We'll be commenting on this one paragraph only. Today's readers are Terry S. for the 12 Steps, Rhonda R. for the 12 Traditions, and the readers of our text are Julie E. B., Nan K., and Jordan L. Our newcomer greeter today is Kaylee R., and Reggie O. will do our announcements. And Lynn S. is recording us. Thank you, Lynn. The share ID for yesterday, Thursday, December 19th, 2019, our 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 13,853. That's 13853. And the share ID for this morning's Friday, December 20th, 2019, our 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 13,855. That's 13855. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who through shared experience, strength, and hope are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I will now ask Jordan L. to read our 12 steps of OA. Jordan?
Good morning. Can you hear me okay?
Yep, I sure can. Thanks, Jordan.
Good morning, guys. My name is Jordan L. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Colorado. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understand Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. Ten, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, thought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs.
Thank you, Jordan L., for your service this morning. And now we'll hear from Rhonda R. We'll hear our 12 steps of OA. Rhonda? Good morning.
Good morning, Sherry. My name is Rhonda R. from Georgia. The 12 traditions. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for allowing me to be of service.
And thank you, Rhonda, for your service. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we're discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We're sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, and then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. And that includes your mute button on your phone, so please use the star 1 to mute and unmute rather than your personal mute button. We'd appreciate it that way. We have a nice quiet meeting. Today we resume our study of the Big Book on page 77, the first paragraph. We're going to be reading and commenting on where it says, we don't use this as an excuse for shying away. We're going to read through that one paragraph only, ending with an ill feeling and expressing our regret. So, with that, would Julie E.B. please read? Julie? Star 1 to unmute, Julie E.B.
Hi, this is Julie E.B., gratefully recovered today in Colorado Springs. Happy to be here with you. And let's see. My brain. All right. Getting my glasses. Let's see. We use this as an excuse from shying away from the subject of God. When it will serve any good purpose, we are willing to announce our convictions with tact and common sense. The question of how to approach the man we hated will arise, and maybe he has done us more harm than we have done him. And though we maybe have acquired a better attitude towards him, we are still not too keen about admitting our faults. Nevertheless, with a person we dislike, we take the bit in our teeth. It is harder to go to an enemy than a friend, but we find it much more beneficial to us. We go to him in a helpful and forgiving spirit, confessing our former ill feeling and expressing regret. I'm Julie. I'm a compulsive overeater recovered today because I have a bigger God today. I want to share that, first of all, I think I shared before in the line, but my counselor I'd been working with a couple years, when I finished my amends, said, what happened to you? I'd been there 2 weeks before. He said, more has happened in 2 weeks to you than happened in the previous couple of years. This changed my life. And So I did not shy away from the subject of God with the people who were open to it. I had a one lady, as I was making amends in Walmart, she just started crying. And when I told her it was a 12-step program, and said, I wish my brother could get to the 8th step. When it comes to an enemy, I had made enemies to lots of people. Everybody seemed to be against me, from medical assistants to waitresses that didn't bring me what I want, that I did amends to. I mean, the manager cried and said, oh, we just knew we needed to treat you extra special. And when I said, no, your job is hard enough, she started to cry. And then moms, PTO moms, let's just say. And one of them in particular had become my kid's teacher. And when I went in to make an amends to her, she had called me out for some rude soccer behavior, being on the sideline at soccer behavior. It was very difficult, but I said, you know, I was sorry that I had been rude, da, 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 da. Well, first of all, it benefited, you know, all my kids that continue going through her class. This last one that just went through her class found out, oh, she has a new name. She's had a divorce. She's been in an abusive marriage. You know, I was emotionally all over the place. She was too. But making this amends made things different. On a day-to-day basis, I had made an enemy of the people closest to me, including blaming my husband for everything. So going to him and making this amends opened a door that continues to open more and more. When I regard someone as an enemy, instead of staying on my side of the street, I can't, but just by changing my side of the street, you know, it did inspire him to make some changes as well at times. But even as times when he goes back to other ways of doing things, I stay on my side of the street, and I don't have an enemy. I'm married to a friend, and that's powerful indeed. Just recently, with a work partner, we're in the God business together in some senses, but still we have such different personalities. And I stopped taking it personally, and that changed everything. Thanks for letting me share, and I pass.
And thank you, Julie E.B., for getting us started. So again, we're reading Chapter 6 into action. We're on page 77, the first paragraph. We don't use this as an excuse for shying away from the subject of God, and ends with ill-feeling and expressing our regret. Who would like to share this morning?
Swami Shana.
Roz G.
Okay. All right. I got... honestly, Roz G. out of that, but I know there's two
Lisa
before
G.
her.
Lisa G. Shlomi Hana.
Okay.
B.
All right. Shlomi Hana.
Michelle.
Lisa G.
So far I have Shlomi Hana. Shlomi Hana. Lisa G. Roz G. And then somebody else came in.
Michelle.
Okay. I heard Pat K. and I heard a Michelle. Michelle, what's the initial of your last name?
J.
Okay. All right. And I can take one more.
Christina J.
Christina J. Okay. All right. So we have our lineup. Yay. All right. Shlomi Hana. I forgot your last initial there, Shlomi Hana. Lisa G., Roz G., Pat K., Michelle J., and Christina J. All right. Shlomi Hana. And please give you an initial of your first initial of your last name, please.
All right. Thank you so much for your service. I'm sorry. I always forget to do that. Shlomi Hana B, like boy.
Thank you. Go ahead, please.
Okay. Thank you. So thank you so much for your service. Thanks, everybody, for this meeting. I'm so grateful. Step 9 is the hardest step for me. I know a lot of people have a lot of difficulty with steps 4 and 5, and people drop out on those steps. That never bothered me, never bothered me a bit. Step 9, I had to be dragged kicking and screaming, and it took a long time to finish those amends. I was lucky because I think I didn't really have any enemies that I needed to make amends to, which I'm very grateful for. you know, I did have people that I had wronged, of course. And some of those wrongs were very shaming to me. I felt a lot of shame around them. And, you know, in retrospect, it's a wonderful way to beat yourself up. And I would just caution that when you're doing step nine, to really be aware of that inner dialogue of shaming, self-shaming, because that's not what step nine is about. Step nine is not about shaming ourselves and beating ourselves up and saying, oh, see, you know, you did this, you did that, now you're going to have to go to the person to humiliate yourself. That's not what it's about at all. It is scary, yeah, but it's really about freedom. It's about, you know, being an adult, admitting that we did something wrong, but not getting into the, I am such a bad person, I deserve to be punished. It's about growing up and admitting we did something wrong and repairing that relationship or repairing, you know, the energy that, I guess, was damaged between our relationship and our higher power when we commit those wrongs, and then moving on and being who we can become. It's a very positive step, actually. And I will say that when I finished my amends, I finished all of my personal amends, which is a miracle. Not my financial ones, but I finished all of my personal amends. And these were, you know, these were things that I carried around with me for years and years, and I shamed myself. Whenever I would think of them, I would shame myself. And, you know, when I finished the amend, I was able to let go of that and to just move on. I felt the biggest freedom when I did that. And I have to say that I did not have one bad amend. I didn't. Most of them were wonderful. They were wonderful. In fact, I don't know if I'll have time to tell about this, but one of them was, you know, that it was my friend's father who's 85 years old, and my sponsor and I decided that it would not be appropriate to bring up the past to an 85-year-old man. So the amend was calling him and just saying hello and having a pleasant conversation and making him feel good. And we did that. And it was so wonderful. It was wonderful. There were other amends that I made. Okay, thank you so much. I'll pass.
Thank you, Slamy Hana B. Lisa G., you're up, followed by Roz G. Lisa?
Hey, it's Lisa G., recovered in Texas. And I would like to sort of zoom in on when it will serve any good purpose or willing. No. It may be that he has done more harm than we've done him. Okay, so two examples is the first one. Years ago, I did an amend to my stepmother, and I'm not going to go into all what happened in the past with her, but I really, really felt like it was basically, 99% her. And that may be true, that may not be true, but that's definitely the way I felt about it. And when I made my amend to her, I called her up. We live in different cities, and I hadn't spoken to her in several years after my dad died. And we talked for about 20 minutes, and then I said, well, I want you to know the reason why I called you is I'm calling to tell you I'm sorry and to ask you to forgive me. And she said, oh, there's nothing, you know, you don't have to do that or whatever. I said, no, I do. And then she said this sentence that just would have been so easy for me to dive into, like, go back into refeeling. She said, well, I'm sure it wasn't all your fault. And, oh, my God, I just wanted to explode when she said that. But I had a purpose to this call. And so I just took a deep breath and said, well, be that as it may, you know, I'm asking you to forgive me. And she said, of course I forgive you. And I mean, it was wild because all the animosity that I had for her, it just disappeared. And that was God. I didn't talk about God with her, but that was God. And now when I think of her, I feel nothing. I mean, I don't have to be friends with her or like her or anything, but I don't feel the venom that I felt for so many years. And then another amend that I made that is totally opposite of this one. I did horrible harm to one of my nephews. Years ago, the kids all went on a hike, and he was the oldest one, and my daughter was like 4 or 5 years old. And when they came back from the hike, she was all bloody from falling, and she was crying, and she was bleeding. And I looked at him, and I said, I cussed him out. I said, "What, you know, something like, what the hell's wrong with you? How could you let this happen?" And I was so angry at him, and he's 30 years old now. So I don't know, a month or so ago, I took him into a room. We were all together, and I took him into a room, and I said, "Look, I want to talk to you about that day. Do you remember that day?" And he said, "Yeah, I do." And I said, I'm really sorry I went off on you, because you were just a little boy, and I was being a crazy mother, and it was so wrong of me to yell at you and make you responsible for something that I was responsible for. I should have gone with you guys on that hike. I should have been watching my daughter, not you. It wasn't your responsibility." And at first he said, "Oh, thank you. All right, well, I'll just end with this." At first he said he didn't remember. But then when I was, you know, then he said, "You know, I did remember, and it really hurt me." And he said, "Thank you so much." And he hugged me and told me how much he loved me. It was beautiful. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
And thank you, Lisa G. Roz G., you're up, followed by, it's either Pat K. or Kat K. I'm not sure. Sorry about that. So, Roz G., you're up. And Pat K. or Kat K. will let me know. Roz, go ahead, please.
Good morning, Sherry KB. This is Roz G., and I'm a compulsive overeater, recovered in Palmdale, California. I know I'm saying recovered now because during this holiday season, I've been neutral towards all of the foods that have been, you know, presented through gifts and everything else. But that's not the topic. Well, this time around, I've made amends, and I've done the shallow apology. I'm sorry. I'll do whatever I can not to let it happen again. But it happens again. And the way that it happens again is because I haven't changed. This program calls for a psychic change. And for me to have that psychic change, I have to go through all of those previous steps and being as honest as I can through them to see where the root of the problem is. The root of the problem is that I'm not enough. And so I cover up. I do that double face life. I want you to see me who I am, who I'm not, you know, who I want you to see me. And I'm not showing you the real me. And through being the false me, I hurt people. So today, while I've made many apologies, my business and my job is to act differently. To act like a changed, recovered, sober, step-taking person. One who is loving and kind and considerate and patient and tolerant. Like, you know, which one of those prayers where it says, "God, show me how to be tolerant, kind, and patient towards these people." That's where the real amends come, is how I'm acting out those things, those attributes. And so I'd have to say that, you know, over the past few months, I haven't had to make amends recently. Maybe little ones here and there. But because in the morning during my meditation time, I ask God to write his will on my heart and be open and willing so that he can guide me in my steps. And, you know, people are going to do what I don't want them to do. But you know what? That's my disturbance, not theirs. I heard somebody, either it was on the earlier morning or this morning, saying that, you know, I got to keep my side of the street clean. And that's the, you know, the walking, living amends day to day that I practice. And it's such a beautiful way to live. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Roz G. Kat K, is that you or Kat K?
It's Kat K with a C.
Thank you, Kat.
Yeah.
All right. If you could please go ahead, Michelle J. will follow you. Thanks, Kat.
Okay, perfect. Hi, I'm Kat K., recovering compulsive overeater. I wanted to share about a fifth step, since we're talking about the fifth step, a fifth step experience that was extremely difficult for me, and that was to a childhood best friend. I attempted to schedule an appointment, meet her to give her the amends, but she didn't want to meet with me, so I wrote her a letter, and I received back about a 10-page letter just telling me everything I've done to wrong her and how she doesn't accept my apology. And I realized that I was using the steps to, I recognized in my reaction that it was for me a people pleasing journey. Like it was a people pleasing journey. And if the people weren't pleased, then I would judge myself harshly as not being good enough. And I was really, really hard on myself, and it was a very hard experience. And that taught me that this journey is about clearing my part of the wrongdoing, and it is not to get approval from others. And they are entitled to react the way they want, and they're entitled to live their life the way they want, including if they don't want to be friends with me anymore. That's their choice, and I can't control that, and I can't control other people's reactions. So that was really hard for me, but also another aspect of amends, of going through the fifth step and then eventually getting to the amends, was that the hardest part for me wasn't going to people, looking at them in the eye, and telling them that I wronged them and whatever I'd scripted out to say, but it was actually the living amends of the change that I was committing to make that was extremely, extremely hard. Because, you know, I felt like before program, I always used this condescending, arrogant way of treating people, which is like, well, I'm sorry you feel that way kind of attitude, as kind of a blow off, well, that's not my problem that you don't like the way I'm behaving. And I use that. So for me, going to people, the verbal aspect wasn't hard. It's actually living in humility and actually humbling myself to change and only thinking about my side and not how they could be better people and this is why I'm reacting to them, but really just owning my side and treating others with kindness and less judgment and less blame on, well, they wronged me, X, Y, Z. So anyways, that's my experience I wanted to share, because I think it's, at the end of the day, it's not about getting acceptance from every single person or entity or whatever it is I'm going to, but it's about, thank you, feeling good. It's about doing my part to recover. So thanks for letting me share. Have a great day.
Thank you, Kat K. Michelle J., you're up, followed by Christina J. Michelle,
good morning. Michelle J., recovered compulsive overeater here in Arkansas. You know, the step nine, making amends, it seems very unfair to me at times, and it's scary. Sometimes I just want to, it's easier to say, well, you know, I'm this way because you did this, or I'm this way because he or she did this. Well, the scales that we are weighing life on, that I'm weighing life on, and everyone in it, well, they're really often unbalanced. I feel like everyone, you know, is out to get me, things like that. Well, maybe they did hurt me more. Maybe they are out to get me. You know, life is full of unbalanced scales. And if I'm weighing everything and everybody on these scales, I'm not living in reality. I mean, I'm not living in a Hallmark movie. Reality is the scales are oftentimes tipped over. But I'm going to benefit greatly if I can deal with my own self, my own weaknesses. I've got defenses. I've got rebuffs. I've got lame attempts to fix the world and everything in it. But the ninth step allows me to not weigh out things on a scale, for me to let go, to clean house for me, to stop weighing out the tit for the tat. I am screwed up, and I am screwing up, and I'm owning up to those things, not just the old stuff, but the new stuff too, on a daily basis. I am accepting my wrongs, and I'm reaching out, and I'm saying to others, hey, I screwed up. Indeed, this does bring the healing that we're looking for, the peace and the joy that we all want. I mean, to feel that elephant being lifted off my chest is the most wonderful thing. It's like, wow. So I can overcome that fear. I can overcome those unbalanced scales and live in reality. The more I work this, the more I do this, the more I make amends, you know, it's a good thing. And I just want to encourage all of you to just get out there and just do it any way you can. You may not do it the first time. It's okay. Get out there and just do it. And we're all here to help each other to do that and to become healed and to become what we can be in God. And with that, God bless and Merry Christmas. I'll pass.
Thank you, Michelle J. And before we hear from Christina J., just want to remind everybody where we're at. We're on page 77, the first paragraph. We don't use this as an excuse, ending in ill-feeling and expressing our regret. So as soon as we hear from Christina J., we'll take some more names. Christina, good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for your service and everybody out there. Listened to the 7 and 8 a.m., and they were very powerful in this regard. I wasn't in this part of the book when I was first going through, but I had my sponsor's great guidance. And one of the things she said to me as we got to this part of the work was, you'll go to any length if you want freedom. And I didn't quite know what that freedom meant. This book up to now is telling me that I'm fitting myself to be of maximum service to God, that I can expect to get the sunlight of the Spirit like I've never had it before, and I wanted that because I didn't have it. I had a connection with God, but I was still in the food. So what was keeping me in the food? Why wasn't my connection to God keeping me in the food? But I just didn't feel it like everybody in this book was talking about in the meetings. And so the fourth step showed me patterns. It showed me fears. My whole life basically was driven on the fear of not being good enough. That was the whole bottom line. And if I worked super hard and you still didn't give me my due, boy, I got a resentment. Like, what did I do wrong? I've done everything I can to get you to like me, to accept me, to let me into the club, you know. And so when I got to this step 9, my sponsor, knowing what my character defects were, that fear that was driving me, she said, have no expectations. We're not looking for forgiveness or understanding. Reconciliation or a good feel-good fix. We don't try and manipulate and get a pride hit. Boy, did I do that all of my life, and she saw right through it and helped me see it. So we go to him in a helpful and forgiving spirit, confessing our former ill and expressing our regret. That's humbling to do that with people that I, you know, wanted to impress and not go there and manipulate and try to get them to now, oh, she's asking forgiveness, oh, let's give her, oh, you know, and oh, I'm doing this the best I can, give me your forgiveness. And, you know, I had a woman that would not forgive me. I know she got my letter because I sent it, you know, where she had to sign for it, but she wouldn't take my calls anymore. And I felt like she really did me wrong in the beginning, but then God showed me my part, my manipulative part. And what I've done since then and what has been opening up is what happens in this book. You open up to that deeper connection. You want to do and be as God wants you to do and be. And what is that? That beautiful higher power, what would that be? Compassionate, understanding, not judging the assholes because they're stuck in some sort of deep place of fear and frustration and I'll finish up with this, anger in themselves. Let me try to love everyone and see past as God would see into the little light inside of everyone. And I can't do that if I'm in the way with fear and try to manipulate everyone. So this step really showed me that. And I'm going to finish up. This will show you. Just get in there and do it. Thank you so much for letting me share.
Thank you, Christina J. Okay, so we are on page 77, first paragraph. Who would like to share?
Carrie F.
Liz F.
Okay.
Lisa J. R.
Okay. All right. Hold on. My pencil's writing here. Okay. I heard Santa H. I think I heard, did I hear Terry S?
Yes.
And I heard Lisa J.R.
Liz F.
Bruce E.
Liz F. And I think I heard Bruce.
Yeah.
And I can take
Betsy
one more.
Betsy QK. Betsy QK.
Betsy TK. Betsy TK. All right. So this is who I have. Santa H, Terry S, Lisa JR, Liz F, Bruce E, and Betsy TK. All right. Santa, good morning. Go ahead, please.
Good morning. Thank you for your service, and good morning to my fellows. And special thank you to Team Friday for this, making this meeting possible. My name is Santa H, and I'm a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater from New Jersey. And as I was sitting here listening to all these beautiful shares, I was saying to myself, I didn't make amends to anybody that I was angry at, and that I felt their faults was greater than my faults. And I had to look back and say, you know what, I did. It's been so long ago that I didn't remember, but I just wanted to share my experience. When I first made my amends, a lot of amends before I even came into the program. And I, it was just the way things happened for me. And then when I got into program, my only concern was about losing weight. And so I knew that I had to make an amends to some people that were in my past because I wanted to be free from eating compulsively. And so I had a best friend who just so happened to be in OA, and I had just come into OA myself, and she had helped me make one of the most difficult amends that I had to make, and that was to my ex-husband. I was in a very, very terrible abusive relationship, not physical, but emotional and financially, spiritually. And I'm listing all these things that he did wrong to me. But then she helped me to see what I've done and to stay on my side of the street. And that was extremely helpful. It was not easy to make an amends to him, but I did. He looked at it as an opportunity to get back together, but that was not my goal. And I was grateful that I used, I went in there with a purpose. I did put my higher power with me, and I listened closely to what my higher power was saying, and I definitely knew that I didn't want a relationship again with him. But I just wanted to be free. And I was so grateful that I made that amends because he died 2 to 3 months after I did that amends. And I just thank my higher power often, and even now, that I made that amends while he was still alive. That was the greatest gift that my higher power gave to me. And I just wanted to just share that experience, and with that I pass.
Santa H. Terry S., you're up, followed by Lisa J.R. Terry, good morning.
Good morning, Sherry. I apologize for not being there to read the traditions. I was on the phone with a physician, so I'm very, very glad to be here on the line. This is Terry S. from Bend, Oregon, recovered food addict. And having the spirit of forgiveness, this took me a really long time to be able to enter into a ninth step amends with both of my parents. It was, well, frankly, thousands of dollars of therapy and OA membership to get to the point that I could truly, sincerely go to them and apologize for not being the best daughter that I could. And their reaction was how they reacted, but I changed because I realized how wounded that they are. And the relationship I have with them today is very superficial, but it's okay. I'm done expecting
more than they can give. I've come to a level of acceptance for who they are. And that is what the ninth step amends is truly about for me. For those that are so difficult, I've stopped dragging the baggage of childhood around, and I've been able to just forgive them. It was a very, very hard amends to make, but they have changed their behavior somewhat, but more importantly, I have. And, you know, and I'm not perfect with it, but I do try to be a better daughter. And I know that that gives them peace of mind that I haven't cut them out of my life. And I know that they appreciate that. And I know they love me very much. They're just kind of two screwed up people. So anyway, with that, I pass, and I really appreciate being here. Thank you.
Yes. And Lisa J.R., you're up, followed by Liz S. Good morning, Lisa.
Good morning, Sherry and everybody. Lisa J.R. here, grateful from Baltimore, Maryland. So we take the bit in our teeth, and as a horse person, I can really understand that, because any of you have been at one of those riding stables that, you know, you get on a horse, if it sees a patch of grass and wants that patch of grass, it will take the bit in its teeth and it will go. And no strong man can hold him back. So I have to approach this amends thing like that. I have to be purposeful and single-minded about it. Now, being in the business I was in all my life, there were a lot of amends to make that were towards people that would have, if I had gone servile and scraping and said, I'm sorry, right off the bat, they would have taken that verbiage and used it to their advantage. So I learned when to use the word, I regret my part. I regret my behavior in this incident. And it made it a lot less tense, because there were some people that I had intense hatred for. And of course, I spent my life, I spent my entire life drinking the poison in that hatred. So it was, these were supercharged amends I had to make. And when I used that language, I regret my part, very important for me, I was able with some of them at the end of the conversation to say, I'm really, really sorry, because it diffused their in turn hatred for me. Now, it always didn't end up good, but I got to say what I had to say without feeling shamed. Or, you know, just replaying the whole thing. I was there to get rid of my my part, to take ownership of it, to repair the damage if they allowed me or would, and move on. Because you know what? This gal wants to look the world in the eye, and that's exactly what happens after we make amends. Otherwise, we're skulking around on the edges like a rat, trying to avoid the people that we've wronged. So it's a great way to live. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you for letting me share.
And thank you, Lisa J.R. And Liz F., you're up, followed by Bruce E. Good morning, Liz.
Hi, it's Liz F., calling from New Hampshire. You know, the ninth step has really become a part of my daily life, other than the part of the steps where I actually had to do work of the ninth step with a number of people. And I think the one thing I really had to do was to let go of expectations, and also to be sure that before I made any amends that I had completely forgiven anyone toward whom I felt anger or hatred or had any negative feelings, because otherwise it was going to come out. I was going to still be upset with them at the other end. I made amends to many people who sort of nodded and agreed and, you know, didn't pat me on the back and tell me how wonderful I was. And that, it worked out exactly the way it was supposed to work out. And I still had enormous relief because there was something about telling people that I had wronged them and specifically explaining what that wrong was and that I did regret it. And that was real. I truly did regret it. And to me, the word regret was very important, and also being specific about what the wrong was. And asking forgiveness was something I learned to do because I did want to ask. Now, whether they forgave me or not was none of my business, but I could ask. Some people I had to write, and I didn't hear back, and I had to let it go. But it's become really a part, I find enormous relief in making an amend, because living with the harm that I've done someone else, whether it be small or great, is something that I can no longer do. So having this particular step to work is something that gives me such, it gives me such a relief to do so, to be able to free myself of that burden, and also to do what I must do, and that's go to that person and apologize, for lack of a better word, because I have to, for my life, for my recovery, and to move forward. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Lisa F. Bruce E., you're up, followed by Betsy TK. Bruce, good morning.
Yeah, good morning. Thank you, everybody. And another wonderful call here. Thank you. And let's see. This one was real tough for me. It's my hardest step, and still is. But it's a lot easier to do today than it was before. I was sweating this one from the beginning when I first got in the program, and I was sweating this one out when I was in step one. My sponsor said, just hang on, you know, we're doing only on step one, let's do step one and two and stuff, and, you know, don't worry about that. So that helped. Finally, my dad and my brother were the two big ones, and I mean, there was a lot of them besides them, but that was the two biggies. Finally, with my dad, well, the first time I approached my dad on this, I didn't know exactly how to do it. And he said, no, don't worry about it. You don't have to do any of that stuff. He said, everything's in the past. I've forgotten about it all and all that, you know. And so that blew that out of the water. And so I had to take some more time to figure out how to do it and consultation with my sponsor and others. And finally happened. And I couldn't believe it. My dad actually admitted to some of the things he had done, which was blew me away. I hadn't expected any of that. And he actually ended up hugging me, which I couldn't remember my dad ever doing that. And he kissed me. And he never did that. I could, man, how could he do, you know, he did that. And he apologized. I apologized. So that was wonderful, and it actually ended up opening up an avenue or a channel for my dad to have a spiritual experience, which he had soon thereafter. So that was wonderful, and it was just the worst thing I would ever thought I could have done, you know, previous to doing it. And my brother was the other one, and he and I had been at odds for 40 years probably. And when I first went to him too, he said, I don't remember any of that stuff. I don't remember anything. He says, that's not, you know. I said, yeah, well, wait a minute now. So I got a little smarter this time through, and I had some things ready, and I said, how about that time I stabbed you with a pencil? And he paused a long time, and he said, you know, I still see these blue marks on my arm from that. And I said, you got to be kidding. That was a colored pencil? I couldn't even remember that. I said, remembers a blue pencil. He said, yep. And I'm thinking, Jesus, like a tattoo. And we did amends, and it was wonderful. And now we speak. That's what's amazing about it, is we're actually pretty good friends. So thanks for letting me share. I pass.
Thank you, Brucey. And, you know, Betsy Kay, I'm so sorry. We've ran out of time. So sorry. So I hope you share on Monday. And thank you all for your wonderful shares this morning, because that's all the time we have today. We've got to hear from our newcomers and hear about some sponsors. So I just want to thank Team Friday. Thank you all. Rhonda R., Jordan L., Julie E.B., Nan K., and Melanie C., and Reggie O., and Lynn for recording. So with that being said, we will now close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Would Nan K. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only and keep you until then. Nan?
Hi, my name is Nan K. from Michigan. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you and